tonight tracking a new coast-to-coast storm, snow, heavy winds, a possible severe tornado outbreak across several states. The system from the west all the way to the northeast, 18 states on alert for snow and high winds, moving across the country, bringing with it a dangerous tornado threat. Rob Marciano standing by to time this out. Tonight, the new images just coming in for the first time in 38 years. The world's largest active volcano erupting on the Big Island of Hawaii. Lava beginning to flow, the sky glowing red tonight. What residents there are being warned at this hour, and Matt Gutman with the pictures coming in now. In Buffalo, New York tonight, the gunman accused of killing 10 people at that top supermarket because they were black, pleading guilty to murder, attempted murder, and domestic terrorism motivated by hate. And what the judge did today in that courtroom, Stephanie Ramos in Buffalo. The extraordinary images coming in from China tonight, growing protests against extreme COVID lockdowns, clashing with police, and why they're now holding up blank sheets of paper, the message they're trying to send to the world, and what this could mean for the global economy and right here at home. Martha Raddatz standing by tonight. Former President Trump and the backlash after having dinner with both Kanye West, condemned for his anti-Semitic remarks, and with a known white supremacist who was in Charlottesville, Jonathan Karl tonight. The horrific scene in California, a family killed, the home set on fire. And tonight, a former trooper is accused of traveling across country to get to that home to pick up their young daughter who he allegedly met online. The remarkable rescue, the plane crashing into power lines and dangling for hours. They spent more than 7 hours trying to get the pilot, the passenger, and the plane out of those lines. In Houston tonight, more than 2 million without water under a boil water alert. Schools closed again tomorrow, so what's behind this? Comedian Jay Leno back on stage, and the jokes tonight at his own expense after the fire in his garage. You'll hear the jokes. And our Made in America Christmas is back, 11 years and running. Tonight, the one thing many of you bought and grew, and how they're looking tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to be back with all of you at home. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We're going to begin tonight with this new cross-country storm heading all the way to the northeast eventually. Already tonight, at least 18 states under alerts, heavy snow, dangerous winds, and with this system, the potential for major tornadoes, so-called long-track tornadoes possible. They warn on the ground for a long time. The system already leaving its mark. Take a look tonight. Up to 2 feet of snow in the Pacific Northwest, a convoy of plows clearing the roads. These images in Washington State tonight, about 50 miles east of Seattle. Then that storm sweeping across the country, delivering snow from the Rockies right to the Great Lakes. And across several states in the South, the very real threat of those nighttime tornadoes. Ultimately, the storm hits the east, too. Tonight, where they're most concerned about those tornadoes and the timing of this storm, senior meteorologist Rob Marciano leading us off from Memphis, just one city where they're being warned about the possibility of these twisters. Good evening, Rob.
Hi, David. This system really has two pieces of energy that will converge in the southeast tomorrow, making for a very dangerous day. Right now, it's bringing wind to Southern California and the Southwest. Winter storm warnings are posted from Utah all the way up to the UP of Michigan. This low kind of evolves out of the Rockies into the plains tomorrow. It drags a foot plus of snow in through the Rockies and 6 to 12 inches potentially Denver through Minneapolis. But in the warm sector, storms pop in Louisiana in the morning, evolve into supercells, long-track tornadoes possible, as you mentioned, in Mississippi, Tennessee, and Alabama late day, weakening somewhat through Georgia Wednesday morning, but still damaging winds and rain potentially in the Northeast come Wednesday. But certainly the most dangerous weather and the most severe action will be here tomorrow, Memphis to Jacksonville. People here are being told to have a plan tomorrow and to be ready.
David? Yes, please heed those warnings. Rob Marciano and the team in place to cover this, and we thank you, Rob. In the meantime, we turn to the stunning images just coming in tonight. The world's largest active volcano in Hawaii roaring back to life, and the urgent warnings at this hour for residents there. Mauna Loa on Hawaii's Big Island erupting for the first time in 38 years. A thermal camera capturing the moment it erupted, lava pooling in the crater right at the top. Our chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman, with the pictures coming in now.
Tonight, new helicopter video capturing Mauna Loa's fiery awakening, erupting for the first time in 38 years. The world's largest active volcano roaring back to life after its longest dormant period on record.
You can clearly see that that's lava coming down Mauna Loa. It is nuts.
Thermal cameras showing the moment it erupted, spewing volcanic gas into the sky and sending lava gushing out from the summit crater. Time-lapse video also capturing the blast of ash, debris, and molten rock. Lava streams are flowing down part of the volcano, but authorities say they are not threatening communities directly. But there is concern over falling ash. People with respiratory illnesses warned to stay indoors, and anyone going outside told to wear a mask. Shelters being opened as a precaution.
You know, we're way overdue. We were way overdue for a Mauna Loa eruption. And so we had prepared.
Southwest Airlines now canceling several flights to and from the Big Island. Mauna Loa makes up most of the Big Island of Hawaii, and 50 miles down from its summit, it connects with Hawaii's other main volcano, Kilauea. Kilauea's eruption in 2018 destroyed about 700 homes, as we saw firsthand back then.
You can see all that lava fountaining here. Now, this is Fissure 17. Some of the fountaining has gone hundreds of feet in the air. What you're seeing over there, and those roars are steam and gas flying out of these vents. That stuff is 2,000 degrees.
Authorities say lava from today's eruption is contained to the summit area, but alerted communities at potential risk to review their evacuation procedures.
David, volcanologists tell me we've likely already seen the worst of the eruptions. It'll likely start to taper off from here. They also say another bit of good news is those eruptions happened in the northeast. That means it would take weeks of continuous gushing for lava to actually reach populated areas or infrastructure.
So David, hopefully a lot of time to prepare if anything happens. All right, Matt Gutman on this tonight. Matt, thank you. In the meantime, to Buffalo, New York tonight, where the gunman accused of killing 10 people at that Tops supermarket because they were black. Tonight, pleading guilty to murder, attempted murder, and to domestic terrorism motivated by hate. What the judge did today in that courtroom, reading each of the victims' names. And of course, we remember the 10 who died. The youngest, 32, the oldest, 86. And the young man who plotted this, who drove several hours to get to that store and who had visited the store multiple times before. Stephanie Ramos in Buffalo.
Tonight, 6 months after 10 black people were killed in a racially motivated attack at a Buffalo, New York supermarket, the gunman pleading guilty.
And that is what we got today, which was swift justice.
The state's indictment against Peyton Gendron includes first-degree murder, attempted murder, and domestic terrorism motivated by hate, which carries a mandatory life sentence. In the courtroom, Gendron replying yes and guilty as the judge named each victim and charge. The then 18-year-old was armed with an illegally modified semi-automatic rifle back in May when he drove more than 3 hours from his home to target the predominantly black neighborhood, opening fire in the parking lot of the Tops supermarket, then entering the store. Gendron live streaming the carnage from a camera mounted on his helmet.
This defendant's own helmeted, mounted video camera. It establishes beyond all doubt the gruesome facts of the defendant's conduct.
Prosecutors say he deliberately planned his attack over several months, even visiting the supermarket twice, and posted a document online shortly before the massacre outlining how he planned to kill as many black people as possible. Tonight, his guilty plea, little solace for the families of the victims, including Garnell Whitfield, who lost his 86-year-old mother, Ruth.
To hear how she died and to just imagine what she faced in that moment, having lived the life that she lived, it's just tough to take.
The shooter still faces more than two dozen federal charges, some of which may carry the possibility of the death penalty. And tonight, David, we are hearing from the shooter's parents who say their hearts are broken over the devastation their son has caused. David.
We remember each and every one of those families. Stephanie, thank you. We are monitoring extraordinary images coming in from China tonight, growing protests against extreme COVID lockdowns. And take a look at this tonight, why they're now holding up these blank sheets of paper, the message these protesters are trying to send to the world. Here's Martha Raddatz.
Tonight, acts of defiance not seen in a generation. Massive protests spreading across China, the largest since Tiananmen Square. Oh. Thousands of people risking their own safety, marching in the streets of Shanghai and the capital, Beijing, outraged over President Xi's extreme zero COVID lockdowns, some calling for his resignation. Demonstrators holding up those blank pieces of white paper, now a symbol of the movement, saying it represents everything they want to say but cannot. The protests erupting after this fire in the western city of Urumqi, killing 10 people, many blaming the government's strict COVID measures for the delayed response. Despite the lockdowns, COVID cases still surging in China, more than 25,000 new infections every day. Tonight, the White House not condemning China's crackdown, but saying in a statement it supports the right to peacefully protest and acknowledging the ongoing lockdowns could impact the global economic recovery.
Clearly, China as a major economic player and China still struggling with COVID, there's an impact on the economy.
Yeah, so let's drill down on this. Let's get right to Martha. As you reported there, concerns about how China's COVID lockdowns and these protests could impact an already fragile global economy, the supply chain and stocks taking a hit today, Martha?
That's right, David. The Dow plunging nearly 500 points today over fears about the impact on China's own economic recovery and broader supply chain concerns. David?
All right, Martha Raddatz. Martha, great to have you back after the holiday with us. Back here at home tonight, and to the remarkable rescue, a plane dangling for more than 7 hours in power lines in Maryland. They had to carefully get the pilot and the passenger out. ABC's Gio Benitez covers aviation.
Tonight, this terrifying scene playing out nearly 100 feet in the air. A small single-engine plane slamming into a transmission tower Sunday night and then getting stuck amid high-tension power lines.
I saw like two big flashes. I thought, oh, it's just lightning.
On board, the pilot and one passenger on their way from White Plains, New York, to Maryland's Montgomery County Airport, just a mile from the crash site. The pilot's hand seen gripping the window frame of the dangling aircraft.
We took very deliberate and time-consuming steps to effect the rescue and the removal of those two folks.
The crash temporarily shutting down power to nearly 120,000 customers and forcing the state's largest school district to cancel classes today. Rescuers spending over 7 hours meticulously working to secure the aircraft and then bring it down.
They stabilized the plane by the crane, then segmented the plane and the engine as two pieces.
David, one person is still in the hospital, and the NTSB is investigating to figure out how this happened. They're looking very closely at last night's rain and fog. David.
Incredible work by that rescue team. Gio, thank you. We're going to turn now to a horrific story. A family killed, a home set on fire in California, and now authorities say a former trooper from Virginia had driven across the country to get to that home looking for the teenage daughter he allegedly met online. Here's Pierre Thomas.
Tonight, authorities are laying out a clearer picture of what led to a triple murder and fire at this family home in Riverside, California. Police say it all began 2,500 miles away with Virginia police officer and former state trooper Austin Lee Edwards. The 28-year-old allegedly posing as someone else and luring a Southern California teenage girl into an online relationship, a scheme known as catfishing. Police suspect Edwards traveled across the country, showing up at the home of the girl's grandparents, killing the couple, Mark and Sherry Winnick, and the girl's mother, Brooke.
We had, you know, a grandmother, grandfather, and a mother of this teen murdered by this suspect who travels from across the country for most likely would be the sexual exploitation of this teenager.
Authorities responding to a call about a distressed girl racing away with a man in a red Kia SUV. A sheriff's chopper tracking the car. Edwards allegedly leading police on a high-speed chase, ending in a shootout with a police SWAT team in the Mojave Desert. The suspect killed, but the teenage girl rescued unharmed.
This is just a very tragic example of how dangerous those interactions can be.
David, police say this is a painful reminder to parents about how they must try to be aware of who their children are communicating with online. David.
All right, our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas. Thanks, Pierre. Now, the growing backlash tonight over former President Trump running for president again and the dinner he had with both Kanye West, condemned for his anti-Semitic remarks, and with a known white supremacist. Here's John Carl.
Nearly a week after dining at Mar-a-Lago with Kanye West and notorious white supremacist Nick Fuentes, Donald Trump has yet to condemn the hateful views of either man. Their views are widely known. West recently said, quote, "I'm going to DEFCON 3 on Jewish people," And Fuentes, who took part in the racist protest in Charlottesville in 2017, denies and even mocks the Holocaust, sharing his hateful rhetoric on his online program.
We need to have something like a white uprising.
In a series of statements since the dinner, Trump said West asked to meet with him, and that it was West who brought along Fuentes. As for the dinner, Trump suggested he enjoyed it and explained why he invited West in the first place. We got along great. He expressed no anti-Semitism, and I appreciated all the nice things he said about me on Tucker Carlson. Why wouldn't I agree to meet? Also, I didn't know Nick Fuentes. Three of the people at the dinner said Trump took a liking to Fuentes, one of them telling ABC that Trump said of the white supremacist, quote, "He gets me." Kanye West, in a video he posted on Twitter and since deleted, said Trump likes Fuentes because he is more loyal to him than his own lawyers.
So Trump is really impressed with Nick Fuentes.
If Trump didn't know Fuentes before the dinner, he does now. But neither the former president nor any of his spokespeople have condemned the man's virulently racist views or West's anti-Semitism. Former Vice President Mike Pence called on Trump to apologize.
President Trump was wrong to give a white nationalist, an anti-Semite, and a Holocaust denier a seat at the table. And I think he should apologize for it.
We reached out to both Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell, the two top Republicans in Congress, for comments about all of this. Neither responded. Ronna McDaniel, the chair of the Republican National Committee, did put out a statement saying, quote, "White supremacy, neo-Nazism, hate speech, and bigotry are disgusting and do not have a home in the Republican Party." But McDaniel's statement made no reference to Donald Trump or the fact that people who hold views exactly like that did find a home over dinner with the former president in Mar-a-Lago. David?
All right, John Carl on a Monday night. Thank you, John. When we come back here, the breaking headline at this hour, President Biden moments ago on this potential U.S. rail strike that could affect Christmas and the economy as a whole. But the president is now asking tonight, and Jay Leno tonight, and the joke's on him.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wondered what you'd do with an extra hour in your day? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, or maybe show up for a friend? We often find ourselves wishing for more time, but the real question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The key to squeezing that special thing into your schedule is knowing what's truly important to you and making it a priority. That's where therapy comes in. It's not just about dealing with problems, it's about finding what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you've tried therapy, you know how beneficial it can be. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's a tool for learning positive coping skills, setting boundaries, and empowering yourself to be the best version of you. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best part? You can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. So whether it's finding that extra hour for yourself or embarking on a journey of self-discovery, therapy can be a game changer. Take the first step with BetterHelp and make your mental health a priority. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/tonight to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tonight.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Jay Leno back on stage for the first time since being seriously burned in his garage, saying, "We've got two shows tonight, regular and extra crispy, and I never thought of myself as a roast comic." Not me, that was him. Funny tonight here, our Made in America Christmas is back. 11 years and still going and growing, literally. Tonight, our great Made in America Christmas is back. Our 11th year now. Supporting local businesses across this country And in stores across America tonight, the kits being sold from one very special farm.
I've been selling these wonderful, incredible kits for 24 years. Oh, that's a long time.
We first showed you the Johnstein Tree Company's Christmas trees that you grow yourself years ago.
We have lots of tourists come through, and they always get excited to pick up their seed kits. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, David.
Since 1992 in McKinleyville, California, the team growing tiny trees, millions planted, and then you pick it up from there.
Okay, David, well, it's Cyber Monday, as you know, so here we are in action, shipping trees all around the country.
Their Coast Redwood tree on the left, giant sequoia on the right. You add soil in the pot, then fertilizer, then the tree. A little water and a lot of love. And tonight here, just look at how the trees have grown. The Geyer family in Washington sending us theirs. In Oregon, the Levitan family, the tree, taller than Dad now. In California, Hagen Foreman planting his right in his front lawn. And tonight, as always, we celebrate our local tree farmers.
Hey, David!
Cooper's Christmas Tree Farm in Brazelton, Georgia, too.
We've been serving our community for 37 years on this farm. Made in America. Third generation.
In Pea Ridge, Arkansas.
Hi, David.
Martin Babb at the Wonderland Tree Farm.
We are so grateful for people who shop local. Merry Christmas.
And in Oxford, Michigan, the Candy Cane Christmas Tree Farm on Candy Cane Lane, of course.
We are so thrilled to know that what we've worked so hard on during the years is going to grace somebody's home for Christmas.
Well, back in McKinleyville, California.
Happy holidays, David!
The Johnstein Tree Company with their holiday message with three words in mind.
Made in America!
Well, we love it. We love those trees now, taller than Dad. Send us your one thing made in America this Christmas. We're just getting started. Good night.